Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When you see a crucifix as vivid as this one on the pulpit, or perhaps the processional cross, what thoughts circle through your mind? Uncomfortable ones? Disturbing ones? Or pleasant ones? Peaceful ones? There are numerous thoughts, in fact, that one might have depending on one's own conscience and present circumstances. St. Paul states that the cross saves some and makes others stumble. He states that throughout his epistle. But here he says, I decided to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ crucified. The thought, the concept of a Messiah, God's Son, that he must brutally suffer and hopelessly bleed on a cross, was an offensive scandal to most of the Jews in Corinth. It was so toxic to their ears that many rejected Paul and were abusive to him. They even sought to have Paul criminally punished by the local authority, Gallio. However, even in spite of this treatment, the Lord encouraged Paul. He encouraged him through a vision. And in that vision, the Lord told him to keep on preaching and to be fearless, because there were many godly people, godly believers in Corinth, such wonderful saints as Aquila and Priscilla and Apollos, who we also remember in this week of the church year. But by all earthly standards, Paul was on the wrong side of the equation. Corinth was a wealthy, economically strong city, a midport city between Rome and Europe and the rest of Macedonia and the Middle East. Sailors often ported at this city while their boat or ship was towed across a short piece of land to avoid sailing across some of the sandbars near the Peloponnese and having to go around the long way. And this made Corinth a very popular place for trade, for culture, philosophy, and yes, even pleasure. One might have said then, what happens in Corinth stays in Corinth. And yet Paul proceeds to Corinth. Even though by tradition, Paul is not a large man. He's rather small in stature, rather weak in ways, and yet the Holy Spirit worked mightily in him. He zealously and fearlessly preached the gospel to both Jews and Gentiles in Corinth, fixing people clearly here on the bloody cross. He was not ashamed of the gospel because it was the power of God to everyone who believes. Postmodern, 21st century America is not all that different in ways than ancient Corinth. Sin is only your problem if it bothers your conscience. But don't force your moral agenda on me. And since there's no binding central truth guiding humanity, I am free to choose what I want to believe. Sure, hedonism is open, and exercising one's sexuality in many and diverse ways is really my own choice. Daily, we witness the wreckage of living by such philosophies. Drug habits and hopelessness increase. Vengeful and random murders occur in our country. Uninhibited fornication and adultery push the sanctity of marriage aside, and the troubling abortion rates increase. There are physical and verbal storms within families with little security for the children within them, and great places of depression. Does Jesus Christ crucified make any difference at all? There are numerous spiritually and physically sick people. And if you take a trip to visit someone in the intensive care unit, you will see tons of IV tubes, electrical cords, technology, numbers, and machinery sustaining one's life. And there you are, bringing your Bible or your Lutheran agenda, a crucifix, or maybe a communion kit. And does it really mean anything at all? Does Jesus Christ crucified make any difference? Though it appears or seems insignificant in the eyes of the world, the cross is not insignificant in the least. No matter how small the message of the cross may feel on your lips, only Christ crucified gives peace, hope, meaning, forgiveness, and imparts life. The cross means everything. And you know this is true when that same person you visited in the ICU 3 weeks later says to you, "Pastor, thank you for visiting me. Those words you shared encouraged me and gave me hope." Any and all ministry in the world, the eyes of the world, is useless and foolish. In fact, all the teaching, all the learning, listening, and preparing here to many means little. Nevertheless, in the face of that, we hear another song, a Lenten song. "Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes." Christ's body broken, Christ's blood outpoured is powerfully affected, even when we think, "The cross can't fix that." Christ's death is your life. God chooses the foolish, lowly, and despised things of the world to shame the wise, the noble, and influential. From Christ's cross flows his lifeblood for you and for this entire world. Whatever doubts, whatever fears, or outward perfections you possess or feel, you are redeemed and cleansed. Washed and cleansed in the marvelous blood of Christ in the waters of holy baptism, you are wisdom from God. This is the heart of the good news. Christ Jesus died to save sinners. As the Lord encouraged Paul through that vision at Corinth, so these words go with you now. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.